You know, as we pray and think, it sets into motion for the best or worst that can be expected. How many times have we prayed for something, then almost pull back and say, "Oh God, I don't think you're going to help me out on this." And we get cold feet. That's not the way we are to do that. You know, God wants us to be bold when we pray to Him. Now, not arrogant or clever, but bold. And that's an important factor in the Christian life. But no one is immune from the influences around us, which include people and institutions placed in our lives from infancy. Some of you attended different schools from the rest of us. Some of you went to private, some went to public. It just varies according to the individual. Some of us had experiences in jobs that no one else could ever imagine having. So life has been and is different for every person here, and I appreciate that. A central foundational question is just how much God is permitted to influence our motives, thoughts, and attitudes. Well, I hope God influences everything in our lives, but we should let God have full reign, but we still like to grab hold of something to maintain a little control on things. And many people consider themselves guided by God, but truthfully, though another attribute can outweigh love for God, and that is negative ambition. Now, there's nothing wrong with ambition, but when it becomes selfish and narcissistic, that's when problems develop. You want ambition to get to what you want. Every one of us has certain forms of ambition through our lives, but it shouldn't be the type to demean other people. Let it be made succinctly clear that when we walk out of this church service, that God is for us, not against us. So if God is for us, then who can be against us? That is our insurance, isn't it? That is our complete, not just life, but spiritual insurance. Despite the attitudes felt about our prospects and all the dismal news that is broadcasted, there is the abiding hope of God if only we believe. The opinion and observation are that many people behave as if there is nothing to be gained for tomorrow. Where does that leave God? No matter how tough circumstances may seem, there is hope for everyone with God's providential guidance. Think about that. However, that doesn't mean life won't have its ups and downs, and it certainly will. We wouldn't be human if it didn't. But to study the past is important to understand how people thought and lived, but it is to be remembered that there is more than the past or present, but interestingly, a future too. The future is very marketable in the business world, believe it or not. There are numerous people who enjoy astrology and horoscopes. Astrology is said to have originated over in the Chaldean area of the Middle East and the Persian Gulf. I want to ask you, do you all remember dime stores used to have? There used to be scales about that high, and you'd stand on and put maybe a dime or a quarter in them, and you'd get your weight and your height, and then you pushed a button, and out came a little roll or something. It was your horoscope. I remember Woolworth used to have those, and I used to have some. I don't know what I did with it, but I thought it was always fun to see what it would say, and I'm sure everyone else had the same thing that jumped out of the machine. But I was thinking about that while doing this sermon. But you know, even the wise men were astrologers. It said they were looking at the stars when they found the star in the east, and it was just important, and royalty in those days had astrologers on staff to advise them concerning the future. The pharaohs of Egypt had astrologers. John Dee, court astrologer for Queen Elizabeth I, not the second, predicted English victory over the Spanish Armada in 1588, and it happened. Whether or not that was a good guess or not, but Queen Elizabeth I believed him. The interest in astrology continues to be a thriving trade. Out of more than 2,000 newspapers in the United States, most of them carry astrology columns or horoscopes. This is aside from various other communications in some use today. People continue to be interested in the future. And incidentally, I found this out just the other day. I was going to shelve it, and I said, well, I found this. Ouija boards are still marketed and making a comeback. So if you have one, I don't know if any of you have one, but I remember at one time they were very popular. You know, I still think somebody's hands were moving it. I'm not quite sure if it was the actual thing or not. But how then do we consider our future without the help of the Ouija board? Well, first by developing a pattern of thought that is built around an optimistic concept of the future. And you said, well, there's bombs exploding everywhere around us throughout the world. There's disease and pestilence, earthquakes, tornadoes. So how can we keep an optimistic concept? Well, a lot of people are troubled by the future, and one reason is their fear of failure. Fear can destroy all incentives. We have to learn, with God's help, to overcome fear. I mentioned him several years ago in a sermon. He was a French entertainer named Maurice Chevalier. He always wore a straw flat hat, and he had a real thick French accent and sang. He died in the 70s, but he was internationally known. And he died in 1972, but he suffered an emotional crisis in middle age. He lost all confidence in himself and could not perform in public. He had what is now diagnosed as agoraphobia, the fear of being around people or in places where there's a lot of things going on. So he withdrew. That's not good for an entertainer to have that happen to him. Fear had gripped him so much, and his career looked grim. After numerous consultations with several psychiatrists, they finally convinced him to perform again, said, you have no choice. This suggestion scared the wits out of Chevalier, but he finally agreed to follow his doctor's suggestion. Suffering untold agony prior to this performance, Maurice went on stage and performed perfectly. From that time on, Maurice Chevalier entertained millions of people on the stage, in the movies, on radio and television, all over the world to millions of people. But ironically, that didn't stop there. After France fell to Hitler in 1940, something interesting happened in Chevalier's life. He volunteered to perform in POW camps where thousands of captured French soldiers were held, and they really loved his visits to them. Accusations of collaboration with the Nazis were launched by his enemies against Chevalier. After the war, he was completely exonerated of all charges. Evidence was given that the famous French entertainer had been a secret courier for the Allies, plus he had hidden numerous Jewish families on his beautiful estate on the French Riviera. Just think about that. He did all that under the eyes of the Nazis. Chevalier attributed that by conquering his agoraphobia earlier in his life gave him the courage and confidence to work for the French underground during World War II. An amazing person, legendary in a trainer, and a profound humanitarian. From this biographical example of Maurice Chevalier, who acknowledged that if we wait for the perfect moment when all is safe and assured, such a moment may never arrive. Have you been waiting on a perfect moment? Well, move forward, because those mountains will never be climbed. Races will never be won. No, you'll never purchase that convertible car, because you'll be reluctant to it. I purchased one because I didn't want to be in the nursing home with applesauce drilling down my chin, saying, well, you should have purchased that convertible when you were younger. But I did, and I'm happy with it. I bet I have a lot more fun than a lot of people driving around, my golden curls blowing in the wind. But you know, the greatest thing to remember is, don't be afraid to be afraid. Now that sounds like an oxymoron. Don't be afraid to be afraid. You know, if you face those fears, they say 99.9% of those fears will never come into being. With the help of God, proceed with life and discard fear completely. Never give up regardless of age. I've had for years, when I'd go to the doctor for a checkup, I had in my mind what terrible, rare thing he can find. It might be something worse than Ebola or whatever it may be. And I would literally be turning white because I was thinking, oh, he's going to find that disease that he can't cure. I go there, he said, you're in perfect health. Guess what? A lot of times we place worries on ourselves which are not needed. And we do that, and it's our own fault. Oliver Wendell Holmes, who was the Chief Justice of the United States years ago, he said life is too short to live it and have regrets. So he took up Greek and Hebrew when he was 90. Benjamin Franklin, who was 70, got tired of waiting on people in their offices or their reception areas, and he took up the violin at the age of 70. So it's never too late to do something you've been wanting to do for a long time. Every day when we awaken, it must be said, with God there is a tomorrow much better than anything we've ever known before. The future is limitless, projecting far out into eternity itself. Only remember, we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. And don't forget that the best is yet to be. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes we get lost in our own thoughts and fears, and we forget that you are there to help us out. Carry us forward, O Lord. Let us be taken in your arms, and because we know there's sure safety in following you and be embraced by you. Help and guide and lead each and every one of us the challenges that we face every day. Guide us, O Lord, and may we discard those fears that says we can't do it. Help us, O God, whatever it may be. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.